Kyle.
Hey, Lawrence.
What's up, man?
Yo, what's up?
How you doing?
Better now.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I've always wanted to sit down and talk to you.
Really? Come on, man. No way, dude.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Is this like something really?
Yeah, for real.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Lords of Chaos. My name's Lawrence. I'm with my homie, Kyle. What's up, Kyle?
What's up, Lawrence?
Okay, so you've... What'd you say?
Yeah, I feel like I've always thought you were interesting and...
Oh, man. Like, I don't think I'm that interesting, but, like, thank you. Thank you. You've always wanted to talk to me. Okay, like, is there any... Like, I don't want to be about me, but I'm really curious why. Just, you know, just real, before we talk about your awesomeness.
I mean, look at your setup, bro. Like, you're awesome, too.
Okay. Well, then, that's it.
Yeah.
So... Kyle, so, like, I've seen you around, and I've known you for years, and I want to make an amends for being so rude to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, and even in public, it sounds kind of up, but I'll talk to you after. You know what I'm saying? But,
all right.
I mean, I went out. I was spiteful at the world. Yeah. I was resentful of everybody. Anyone that showed me love or positivity, dude, like.
That's water under the bridge.
You know what I'm saying? Like, anyone that showed me love, I was like, the disease was like
to you. That's all good. I was a really bad newcomer.
You know?
Like, that.
And, like. I was just like, it's all like, oh, like everybody. You want to show me love? You, dude.
Yeah.
You, like, and it wasn't a personal thing. Cool?
Cool.
Yeah, man. Cool. Thank you. It's all good?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you, man. I just like, dude, I shine so many people. Just like, I was just so hurt at myself, dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? But enough of me. I'll even cut this out, but like, let's go. Okay. Okay. So you spoke somewhere. Okay. And then I heard you share your story. You're from Beverly Hills?
No.
Oh, you went to Beverly Hills High?
Yeah.
Come on, dude. How does it start? Where are you from?
I'm from West LA.
Where in West LA?
Palms is a little neighborhood. Like it's Venice, Mar Vista, Palms. So I'm pretty close to the beach.
I know Venice and Mar Vista. I never heard of Palms.
Yeah, it's across the street from Culver City.
Yeah.
And we're down the hill. So if you go up the hill through Cheviot Hills, you end up in Beverly Hills.
Oh wow, okay.
Because I'm not well off. You know, my family immigrated from Brazil.
Oh, so, yeah, you didn't grow up, like, okay.
Yeah.
Did you grow up, like, in the hood?
Or no,
you,
no.
Or just, no. Just like, not really?
Yeah, just, like, apartments.
Sure, yeah.
But I had a two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big difference between, you know, one-bedroom and two-bedroom.
For sure, yeah. I mean, one-bedroom family of over a couple people, they got to share the room and everything.
Yeah.
Are you a single child?
I did share.
Really?
What did you say? Am I still a child?
No, are you a single parent child? Are you a single parent child?
I do act like a kid a lot, but I have a younger sister. She's 2 years younger than me.
Okay.
We've always been pretty close.
Really?
Yeah, and my family was pretty packed into that two-bedroom.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah.
Who was in there?
My mom, my grandma, my aunt, my dad, my aunt's daughter.
Okay.
Me and my sister.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Who was
But in, my dad left earlier.
When did he leave?
I was like 2.
Why?
Yeah, I don't think he was ever really in love with my mom.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah dude. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and now he's dating my mom's half-sister. We might cut this out because...
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because, like, it's pretty personal.
Okay, yeah. But I appreciate you telling me, man. Like, I appreciate you for that.
For sure. I mean, it's chaos. Maybe you just leave it.
I think a lot of people can, like, understand, like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think it'd be important for people to hear this, to know that you can still have a good life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really important.
Yeah.
But so,
I'll keep going, if you don't mind.
Yeah, keep going, please. Yeah. Please.
So, because I tell the Beverly Hills story a lot. But basically, there was a newsletter that came out in the Beverly paper that said only white, Persian, Asian kids go there. And they're like, oh, no, they reacted and they opened a diversity lottery program for like a year or two. But my mom always went out of her way to get me into like good like charter schools, which was a blessing and a curse because I got a good education, which I'm super grateful for. But I also always had that feeling of not fitting in. You know, like, not only am I, like, it was just, the majority of kids were white.
Yeah, no, like, what was the percentage of people that got selected? Like, what did she go through to do that? Was it a lot of paperwork?
Dude, it was, like, 15 people that got into Beverly Hills that year.
How many applicants?
God knows. I don't know. Probably 100, you know?
Cool. I wonder what she put there to, like, make you, like, or it's a lottery.
It was a lottery.
They don't even care. Just, like, as long as you qualify the stand, whatever their things are, they just pull it up.
Checked off that I'm, you know, black, mixed, what, and I got in. And that was, like, I was, like, just, I just did it because my mom, like, that's where I started using, too, because, I mean, I feel like I was always going to experiment. I've never had a very strong attachment to life growing up.
Yeah.
But it, ironically, as an adult, I care more about life than
what school
I was a quiet kid. I was like, I'm detached and I'm still like working on that.
I think that's really attractive because you're really quiet, but you really care. And whenever you say something, it's powerful and you mean it.
Yeah.
You don't around some flip fluff. Everything you said I've ever heard come out of your mouth has been legitimately had value and good content in it.
Yeah, that's a huge compliment, Lawrence. Thanks.
But that's what it is, though.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't always like that.
What were you like?
I mean, I guess a part of me has always been like that, but I didn't really know the value of what my mom would always say, there's power in our words.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also feel like mentioning my uncle, my mom's brother, he was paralyzed from the neck down. In a skateboarding accident.
How old was he? When did it happen? Where did it happen?
I was probably like 11 or 12, and it was in Santa Cruz.
Okay.
He lived in Santa Cruz, and then he was married. His wife decided she couldn't be with him, and he moved to L.A. And
with you?
With me. Got it. My dad was not there anymore.
Yeah, that too.
And so my mom was, and me and my grandma, we took care of him. So it was a...
How did he break his neck? What is it?
He was showing off for this chick in a parking lot on a skateboard.
Yeah.
And he just landed between two cars and hit his neck, head and snapped his neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just, yeah.
Did he leave because of the disability or before that?
Because of the disability. I mean, I feel like they had their ups and downs, but, you know, I mean, I'm not in her shoes. I can't really say, but... you know, he definitely was depressed. And, I think there's a lot of depression in my family. But I don't want that to continue that cycle. So I go to therapy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What therapy are you going to do? What kind of therapy? DBT, you know?
I don't know what it's called. I just have a space to talk to someone.
Probably that then. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about it? Has it been helping you?
Yeah. Yeah, I do feel like it's been helping a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I like therapy. You learn that pattern, you know, mental patterns that we have so that we can break them.
How'd you get into it? How'd you find out about it?
There's a nonprofit called Manifest Works that my friend told me about.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you qualify for it?
You have to be a felon or a foster care kid.
Okay, I love that. That's rad.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And so they teach people how to be like PAs, but they get people into production.
Oh, okay, cool.
And they also extend their resources to like therapy and stuff. So
I heard about this. Keith. Yeah. Keith's the plug. I mean, I knew.
Nice.
Was he your plug or?
Hassan told me about
for
it.
For sure. Like, all the know about that. Yeah. All the dope ass. Yeah. Higher ups know about that.
Yeah.
That's cool, dude. I'm glad you capitalized on that.
Hell yeah, dude.
So, like, when you transferred, were you, like, in your head, you're like, nah, dude, that. Like, I like where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to go where she wants. But I'm going to do it because she wants me to because she's my mother.
Yeah, and, like, I didn't really care about school anyway. You know, it's high school.
Yeah.
I never really applied myself. You know, I was, I mean, I wouldn't change it though, because I started playing water polo.
What got you into that? How do you fight? Were you like, I want to do that? Or like, yo, like you got this body, dog. You should probably, or someone like suggested it to you.
Yeah, my cousin suggested it.
And what were you first like? Like, dude, what the f- is that? Like,
yeah, pretty much. You know.
But you went.
We wear Speedos in water polo.
But I mean, no. But like, when you first heard it, when you first went to the first tryout. You saw the first thing. What did you first think?
Yeah, I just never seen anything like it. Like, and also, like, how are people not? I think I was fascinated because they beat the water. It's called egg beater or treading water.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're able to not sink to the, because you don't touch the bottom of the pool in water polo. It's a very active sport.
Yeah.
But my cousin that recommended it, you know, I was tired of listening to people because my mom was telling me what to do. My cousin's now like, but I looked up to her because when she's 10 years older than me, and she put me onto like the 80s music. She had OCD, so she'd be like organizing tapes in her room when I'd come home, because we all lived under the same roof. And I'd be like, "So, like, what are you doing?" And she'd play random music for me. So I have some happy memories from when I was a kid. And you know,
what kind of music did she listen to? What kind of music?
All kinds. Beatles.
Yeah.
Alanis Morissette.
Do you know who she is?
Yeah.
Do you know the song Santa Monica Boulevard? Da-da-da-da-da.
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, do you let it linger?
That's the Cranberries.
Sorry, my bad. I'm caught up in the algorithm but she got the Santa Monica Boulevard.
I have to check that one out.
Yeah. That's, I think, one of her better ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
This song Daddy by Jewel.
Okay. I just know the Eminem one. What's the Daddy by Jewel? Okay.
Yeah. It's a pretty interesting song.
Okay.
Where was I?
Water polo.
Oh yeah, so cuz I mean if I had done the conditioning for football and water polo
at the same time?
Yeah. Summer conditioning.
So you did football on your own volition. You're like, yo, I want to do football.
My uncle liked football. And, you know, I like football.
Okay.
But, and I grew up in sports.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I went with water polo. And so my connection with the water is our coach made us do swimming, too. If we played water polo, we did swimming.
Makes sense.
And, I mean, just to make the team, I had to try out as goalie. I was not that good. I did some swimming classes before high school, but I wasn't like on the level. And we got like by senior year, I was captain of the varsity team. We went to Honolulu for like for like JV, like, you know, state championships.
Yeah. Yeah. So you start off as like the lop that you be in the varsity fucking. Yeah. See, that's why you're here. That's why I want you here. You know what I'm saying? That's you know.
Those are good times, Dad.
Dude.
But you know, marijuana. I got kicked out like from Beverly because of smoking marijuana.
So, just weed.
Yeah. There was a zero drug tolerance. But they gave me a chance. They set me up with a drug counselor.
Okay, because you're varsity, so like we got to give this fool, yeah.
But let me give shout out to my mom really quick.
100%. Say what you need to say, man. Whatever. Yeah.
She's like a 2-time Pan American champion in Brazil for the sport judo, and because we have in Brazil we have a dojo, so that's also kind of she's like a physical education teacher, and so playing sports growing up, she was more interested in me in my physical well-being, I think, than my dad's like a typical Brazilian, like soccer, capoeira kind of guy. You know, sports are big in Brazil. But there's this awesome tournament happening at the end of the year for my mom's sensei. He passed away. And so it's in his honor. But, you know, in World War II, a lot of people fled Nazi Germany to Brazil. So I have Polish in my DNA. But anyway, a Japanese guy went Sogabi. And he opened a dojo, and that's why my family has a dojo in Brazil. And I want to try and get first at this tournament. And, you know, I have that fallback plan of owning that dojo when I'm, like, a black belt.
In judo?
Yeah.
So you're learning judo?
I've been doing it my whole life, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, yes. Okay, so, yeah.
Because what reminded me is that when I was playing water polo and football, I was also still training judo.
Did it help?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Why?
They're
kind of similar? Or?
I'm a big believer in cross-training. I mean, for number one, the simple fact of being in great shape you know. But yeah, like for example, and you grip the ball in water polo, so I'm increasing my grip strength. So if I were to like fight someone in judo and I need to pull there, I need to lift them off the mat, the grip strength helps.
Yeah. Have you ever used judo in a real life environment to stop somebody?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Okay. Like 2, maybe 3 times. I never really, like, it's one thing to throw someone on a mat, throw someone on the cement. Like, it could be lethal, you know, like most martial arts. If you get a black belt in that field, you register your hands as a deadly weapon.
Are you black belt?
I'm a brown belt. Okay. I'm one way. Yeah. But that's cause I like deviated from, you know, I'm back training now.
Yeah.
Like full on. But, once this in middle school, this kid called me. He was a white blonde kid, nerd with glasses.
Just once, right? And that was enough.
Yeah, I mean, I could have been more tolerant, probably.
Nah, dude, that's you.
He said it like under his breath.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
But like, whatever. I was like out to get him, and so I actually went to just do like a throw, but I didn't want to hurt him, you know, throw him too hard. But because I hesitated. He was like really skinny, dude. He was like, I would have like
little bitch.
Because I hesitated, he just clung onto my back.
Is that even worse?
Yeah, it's kind of bad.
What?
You know, he was like hitting me from like on top of me, just trying to hit. But I didn't feel the punches.
Yeah.
But I just like got him off me, like kind of pushed him into the ground. And then I just like was like, this is a weird waste of time. And I just. We were doing laps around our middle school, you know, PE. And I just like ran ahead and just tried to like forget about the whole thing. This other time in Beverly Hills, this kid was like not my, he might have thought we were friends, but we come from two different worlds, you know? He comes from money. And I kind of regret this a little, but I also thought it was kind of funny because I've been doing judo my whole life. I can throw someone out without really hurting them. And this was on the grass.
It's grass. So let's go.
Yeah. But, you know, he's like, what's up, bitch? Like.
You ain't that much of my friend.
Yeah.
You're not.
Yeah.
You don't. It's not like that. We're cool, but.
Yeah. You know, but I still need to do that. But I grabbed his backpack lapels and I just flipped him over and he was caught off. He was like, what the did you just do? And I was like. Yeah, it's like, we're cool, but we're not that cool.
Did it hurt him?
Maybe a little, because I think he might have landed on, like, his bind. He was also skinny. Like, this is what I mean. Like, I'm, like, picking on these.
He called you the N-word, and yeah. Then someone that thinks he knows you goes out of pocket and doesn't know his surroundings and not self-aware that you're really not like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what can you?
Yeah, I mean, I only try to fight for valid reasons.
That seems pretty, you know.
No, I'm not, like, a guru or.
And you could have. You're like, dude, I can totally wreck this fool, but I'm only going to go 10% because, like, I know, like,
you
know.
But I was also showing off at that point. I'm in high school. I'm a little cocky, you know.
Do they ever fuck with you? Get any more N-words? From that guy?
Not from that
guy.
Yeah.
That's right. What about the guy? Was he anyone? What's up, bitches? What's up, bitch?
No
more? Again, dude. It's a solution. We're solution focused today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there might have been another one, but I can't remember.
If you remember, just come back and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're in water polo and you're killing it, right? And then you smoke weed. They find out. How'd they find out? How did that go down?
Oh, man. Well, I can't remember the first couple times.
Oh, you caught multiple times?
Yeah.
Okay. By the school?
They had security at Beverly Hills, you know?
Got it. Okay. I'm trying to get clarity. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. But the time I got caught, I'm... When it got really bad, I was like showing up to practice in a blackout because I was drinking too. And
okay,
so I want to track down my. I know where my water polo coach is at. He was really cool. We had a good relationship. You know, so I feel bad for like I came to an out of a blackout arguing with him, like yelling at each other. You know, it's not right to yell at
where?
High school on the bleachers.
Yeah,
and then I just stormed off, you know, but this kid that I was one of the 20 black people at this school that I would smoke weed with, And this is after I went to raves. This is, I was like, already seeing signs, and I probably should have stopped while I was ahead. You know, I feel like I had a window to get my, I was a senior, you know, I was going to get a water polo scholarship, and there was time for me to get my together. But instead, I'm entertaining this kid that was good enough for me to use newspaper to roll.
roll a joint with newspaper.
He put me onto newspaper. Yeah, dude.
Nasty. Dude, I smoked a lot of weed. Like, that was my main drug for like 2 years straight, 2.5 years every day. But I never smoked a joint with fucking newspaper. Yeah. I use Bible paper. You know what I'm saying? But like, that's great.
Yeah, it's nasty.
It's nasty, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even getting that high. Like, you know, I probably felt a little buzz here and there, but yeah, I was I don't know. I guess I didn't care that much. Anyway, I told him, like, yo, like, we were going to go back to class. I was like, I might have been selling weed too. I don't know how, but he had it on him. I didn't have it on. I was like, I was tired of getting in trouble, you know? I'm like, delete the text. You know, especially if you get, like, if they search you or something. And I went to class. I had deleted my text. And then they pulled me out of class to, like, ask, like, where I've been or whatever. And I was like, I just came up with some excuse. And they searched my backpack. I had an apple. I'm like, that's for eating, you know.
Oh, you're an apple weed smoker?
Yeah.
Dude, me too. Yeah. There you guys go. Yeah.
Sorry. I used to throw them after.
Yeah, it's a one and done. Like, yeah. Whatever.
Like, throw them far. Like,
oh, your athleticism.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's going to throw when we're done because he's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I try not to waste food, but.
See, that's why you're funny. Let's go.
But yeah, he dropped the baggie, fell like, it might have been me. Like, it fell like through my pants. And so we went to the principal's office, but I'm like, they don't have proof, but they found it on his phone. They traced it back to me. And then I was like kicked out of Beverly Hills. I went to Hamilton. I felt way more comfortable that I'd fit in, but then I chose to continue to up even harder and started using crystal meth.
Right.
But ironically, I was having a good time. With crystal meth.
When you went to Hamilton, did people know, like, this is like the superstar, you know what I'm saying?
Water polo guy. No. They didn't know. Yeah. Yeah. So it was kind of a taste of humble pie, you know?
You didn't try to chase for that, you know, that validation. Like yo, get me on your team.
They didn't have a pool.
Oh, dude, that's even more humbling. Yeah. Dude, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like your main identity is like not even possible.
Yeah.
Because it's not even available.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But I was always into skateboarding, you know, but, I don't know, not good enough to go, like, I started skating sober and it's amazing how much better, you know, the chance, because I thought I was like, something was wrong with me I was pretty good. Commitment issues, whatever you want.
You're at Hamilton, right? Are you continuously smoking weed now at this point on a regular basis?
Yeah.
Anything else? Ecstasy, mushrooms, acid?
Anything I get my hands on, like not really ecstasy because I had a bad trip once, you know.
Early on, you're like, no, that's not for me.
Yeah, it wasn't too. It was like maybe, like when I used to try drugs, I would like use that drug until either I was over it or. Or I'd still be using it. Because they say XC only works the first time, which is kind of true. Like, there's a lot of things that, like, weed, even alcohol, like, they stop working pretty early on for me. It's my tolerance or, you know, I'll tell you what works every time is salvia.
Really?
Salvia's awful, yeah.
Is it like it's a real plant, though, that they make into like a drug somehow?
It's like a type of tobacco, I think.
Yeah.
But I was telling someone this story the other day that the second time I used salvia, I felt like months had gone by in the course of a couple minutes. You know, you hear about that kind of shit in movies, but I really did. And I had like I knew time was going by slow or fast, but I was able to basically, I was a mermaid in my trip and I had a whole mermaid family. And I almost like got emotional when I came out of the, yeah, it's weird.
So it was a bad trip.
That one wasn't so bad.
Yeah. Being a mermaid family,
But the taste is awful.
What's it taste like?
Like ass.
Really?
Like baby powder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I don't really like being in out of control of my body. Are you okay?
Yeah.
All right. I feel like I like the numbness that Crystal, or like I might have put, I like that you brought up the identity thing in my water polo, the lack of water polo, because I do feel like I had made Crystal like very big part of my identity.
Like you were telling people like, yo, I'm a dude that uses Crystal.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I didn't really hold back. I would tell people. I wasn't like very secretive.
Okay.
But speaking of Lords of Chaos, I probably tried to get people into it, which is like,
I did this, back. Man, I've destroyed some lives getting people into Crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've destroyed some lives. I'll talk. It's not about me, but like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I missed out on a lot of social situations because of it too. You know, I'd rather just be alone at that point.
Where were you getting it from?
I was getting it from students, other students.
Where is Hamilton? Let's talk about Hamilton. Where is Hamilton?
Hamilton is in Palms, Alexander Hamilton.
Is that pretty? Beverly Hills
Middle and School.
Palms.
You know who some celebrities have gone there?
Name them.
The only one I can think of now is Nipsey Hussle.
Nipsey Hussle, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's from Limerick Park, right?
Yeah. So,
what was the first time you smoked weed? I want to go a little bit back.
Right.
First time you smoked weed, describe what happened.
I'm glad you brought that up because I do like this story, but it was someone on the water polo team had offered it to me. And so at first I was like, nah, because like, how are you? Why are you getting at me like this? Like, you know, I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, I'm an athlete, you know. But then I doubted it for a second. I double back. I'm like, you know, maybe I don't know. I just said, you know what? I literally told him no, and then I changed my mind. I was like, I don't know. Even though we're teenagers at the time, I felt like he was like, this might sound weird, but like attacking my manhood. By asking me.
Let's go on further with that. What do you mean by that?
I don't know. It just came out of left field that he was asking me if I wanted to smoke weed.
Yeah.
I, you know.
Like, did he approach you as if, like, he wanted to be your first time or that you already an existing weed smoker?
That it was my first time, I think.
Wow.
But, like, I was, the reason I thought it was so weird is because I was, like, friends with everyone on the team at the same level. I wasn't close to with anyone. So I just felt like it was out of pocket for him to ask me.
Was he a low grade player, mid or at your level top?
He was a top tier player.
As long?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, that's a weird detail. You can edit that if you want, but
I'm not gonna edit it. I mean, like anything that you don't want, I'll take it out. Okay. But I think it's you, Kyle.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're like the mellow, but you burn buildings down. Let's go, come on, let's go.
Okay, I'm like, I thought I was doing him a favor by smoking weed.
Dude, I get it, man. Yeah. Dude, I get it. The people, yeah.
But like, I know for sure there's pre-pressure. There's all kinds of factors. You know, boredom. You know, but anyway, I don't want to, you know, it wasn't all bad in the beginning because we would, you know, that's when fixed gears were popular and he was a skater. So we would like bomb hills in Beverly, smoke a little, ride our fixed gear bikes and, you know, go to McDonald's and just laugh and stuff. And
did you hide the first time?
I got a little high.
Okay. Yeah. Everyone I've asked has not gotten high in the first time. Wait, yeah. I think. No, sorry. Last guest did. Last homie.
Yeah.
Mickey did.
But, yeah.
Some people don't get high their first time.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really feel high. Like, of all the times smoked weed 5 or 6 times. Five or six times did I actually feel like, whoa, like I'm faded. But I think sometimes we don't feel like we're high, but we are. Mm. Like a lot of the time, because automatically we're laughing more. You know, we're not as, like, it's a psychotropic drug. It's going to affect us. Even if we don't think we're high, like, you're off kilter. I've just had a lot of time to think about that.
Did you smoke a joint, blunt, joint?
It was joints, like a couple of joints. And
just you and him?
Yeah, pretty much. But then I was like, yeah, this is not fair. Let me get the rest of this water polo team into smoking weed. And they did. And then...
You're the leader.
But I got booted out. Because one of the kids had an apartment.
Oh, he's a Beverly Hills kid. He has an apartment in high school. Ooh,
yeah, his like uncle's apartment.
Money.
A lot of kids have apartments at Beverly Hills.
In high school.
All new Ooh. BMWs and like...
Just go to my apartment for lunch in 15... Ugh.
Yeah, so like at first it was fun. Like we drink, like get twisted at like the apartment. I remember like being in a pretty decent mood, and I like spit a sick freestyle.
Yeah, kill that dude.
But only one guy heard it, and he was like, "That was dope. Like, do it again." And I was like, "Couldn't do it."
We gotta find him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's like, "Yeah, that shit was like 20 years later. Like, I was like, that shit was sick." I mean, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but then they're like, "Oh, Kyle, we noticed you don't ever like drop on the sack, you know?" And they're like, "We can't." I thought I would get a pass because I'm the one that got them all into it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, they just started calling me a mooch, like, stop giving me rides, play. Like, I was like, you know, don't I they was kinda, poor, dude.
Did they know that you're not like, you don't have apartments, you don't get a BMW?
I mean, look, even like 10 years ago, my generation there's a big difference from, like, racism and stuff. There's been a lot of change in a good way. I think more for good than for bad. You know, like, I don't really believe neo-Nazis are going to, like, survive the wave.
How old are you?
I'm 30.
Cool.
Yeah. So, anyway, but I wanted the, so this guy, the apartment guy, that had, he felt sorry for, he was a generation older than me, and he was, like, the star of the water polo team. I was, like, training with him to get better. So we would be cool at practice, but outside of practice, it was weird. And then eventually he brought me back into the circle.
Cut out, like, dude, this fool, he mooches, he doesn't throw down, he's throwing in the sack, like...
Yeah, they probably had a group chat about me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing was just whack, you know, to me.
Did they tell you that, or they just ghosted you?
No, they told me, bro.
Okay.
I felt pretty, like, in the back seat listening to them.
They were talking about you without you listening, or they were talking directly to you?
A little both.
That's...
Ooh. Yeah. So I contemplated quitting the team, for sure. But I just stuck around, and then, I had a good, like, little nugget, I started acting out. Other people started partying at the school, so I would just bounce around from party to party, but never really good at partying. Like, and I would always go pretty hard. Like, I would offer people shots when people are just drinking beer, or like they're playing. I'm like, let's replace instead of playing beer pong, let's play like tequila vodka pong.
You're trying to level everybody up, like, in every instance I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Like, we want more and more.
I always wanted to go crazier, you know? Well, crazier and crazier.
That's the mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most heartbreaking part of my whole story, at least in the beginning, chapter one, was lying to my mom, bro. Because, you know.
What was the first lie? That you're like, damn, I just lied.
It was at the kid's apartment, and she's like, I'm here to pick you up or something. I said something about like, I'm not there, you know?
How'd you feel before and after you said it?
I knew I changed the course of my life right there with that one lie. I didn't think it was going to escalate.
Yeah.
But
how'd it change? Like, after you hung up the phone, what'd you feel?
I was, you know, that song Comfortably Numb.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, that song's pretty appropriate. I mean, maybe I felt bad. Like I did feel bad looking back. I was a kid, you know, I didn't feel like it was that big of a deal though. But now, I mean, you know, we're part of the same program. Like,
yeah,
we can't lie.
No, can't.
like, if you, now knowing how powerful a lie is, like, I wish I could have told my, you know, I mean, I guess, but I guess I didn't care that much. You know, there's a lot of like, yeah, dude.
So after that, it was just like a constant thing. Like, oh, I did it before. Not, you didn't think I did it before, just, do it again, but you just did it because.
Just more opportunities to lie came up.
And you took them.
Yeah. But then I would try to be honest too. Cause my mom is the one who brought me to my first. And I met Hassan because of that. So if I never got honest with her,
no, what?
Yeah,
that's so dope.
I told my mom I'm using crystal meth. Like, I didn't just tell her flat. Like, I told her the other first.
You kind of like slowly lean, gutter.
You know?
Yeah, you didn't drop the bomb. You kind of slowly let gradually kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't know. I thought I was gonna have more exciting stuff to share about.
No, it's okay. Okay, so that you're in high school. No, I think lying to your mom in that first line, that's pivotal because you're like,
yeah,
that change. It's like, damn, like the not the guilt, but like the numbness. You're like, damn, I just did that. I think it's really important because when you do your first lie like that, you're crossing a line of like your own personal boundaries.
Yeah.
Especially with someone that like you really love. And then it feels like, ooh, like, it's like, that was, and then like, I got away with it. Was that wrong? Was that right?
It's a little bit too, thanks for elaborating, but like of, ooh, that was a little easier than I thought it was going to be, you know?
Sure. You extrapolated it more. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got, it was fun with problems, high school.
Yeah.
And then.
Who's the first time you smoked crystal meth though?
I didn't smoke. I snorted.
You're a snorter.
I'm more of a snorter, yeah.
You don't like smoking that shit? Dude. Okay, no. I get it.
Like, you know, but yeah, I feel like it's like a cigarette. Like, it's like the art of doing it.
Yeah. Did you ever, like, where's the first time you snorted? Who were you with? Why did it go down?
There's this guy, Danny.
Okay.
At Hamilton High in a restroom of the high school off a textbook with a dollar bill, you know?
Can't get more classic than that.
Yeah.
Bathroom textbook dollar bill.
Yeah. Yeah. At least I think that's the first time. The first time might have been by myself, but he was the person I was buying from. But yeah, like that.
How'd you feel?
I felt super numb. Just like I had a suspicion that nothing really matters growing up. And then with or without my consent, I mean with my consent because I'm choosing to do crystal meth, but it was confirmed that nothing matters. It was kind of it was like an awakening. Like, it wasn't so much about the high for me. It was just that, like, you know, that numbing feeling. It provided some relief. But, you know, it's speed too. So, like, you know, like how caffeine makes you like want to fidget and stuff. So I would try to use it like in ways, you know, that, I mean,
how would you use it? Know. What were you doing? Freestyle battle rapping, you know, or like.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I had become a loner, so my laptop had become my best friend.
Oh, yeah. Hassan said, let's talk about anime, right?
Yeah.
Were you addicted to watching anime on meth or something?
Yeah, well, hentai.
Hentai? What is hentai?
Hentai is anime porn.
Whoa, bro. You know I know about porn. Like, I mean, I don't talk about it much anymore. Like,
yeah.
Cause like you can search me and find out my past just indiscretions, but like, you know, but, yeah. Hentai.
Yeah.
Like Bart Simpson, like
no, those are American cards. Like,
yeah. I used to watch Bart Simpson porn when I was like in like fifth grade.
Yeah.
Sixth grade. Yeah.
Yeah. So
like, and that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, or like animated porn.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. It was, because I didn't have anything else to do, bro. Like, you know, I wasn't partying with people. But then I would need I'd have the longing of socializing. I went to judo once. If my sensei found out, bro, I'd be like banished from the dojo, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was high on crystal. And I was like, that was the worst decision I ever made. Because after I felt like my heart was going to explode out of my chest. I was home, and then my mom tells me about one of our family. I would go to Brazil on vacation every summer, so my ties are pretty strong growing up. And then this a family friend had passed away. She was like maybe 4 or 5 years older than me. Her and all her friends in a freak accident, like a bus had smashed their car on the way out of a party. And so weirdly enough, I was able to receive that. Well, I'm not going to say it's a good thing because I feel like I would have felt something if I wasn't high that night. I would have cried or something, you know? But I just laid down and I just like tried to calm down because my heart was like going so crazy. So I feel like there's a lot of feelings that come out since I've been clean, like, you know, like learning how to control or just letting my emotions flow.
Did you want to feel feel bad about it, but you couldn't because you were high?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. My last guest, my homie Alex, his best friend overdosed in college. And they were like best friends, were like, he would go, their families knew each other. And he went there and he was sober. And then like a short amount of time, he went there to go back to the funeral. Everyone was crying, but he relapsed that same day. Mm-hmm. And he was the only person at the funeral that didn't cry. Because he told me he couldn't because he was so high.
Right.
And that is one of his biggest regrets of his entire life.
Yeah.
Was that moment, not being able to cry and mourn his best friend because he was high. So I can. So you're not alone.
For sure.
Yeah.
Another thing, I was trying to, maybe one last high school story.
Talk about whatever you want, man. Yeah. This is your story, man. Yeah. You were also very quiet too.
Yeah.
My last guest, homie, guest of mine, Alex, he's quiet too. So I think people see you around, they're like, what's this fool about? They think you're funny because you did this cool 10-minute whatever. But people, you're intriguing and mysterious too on your own right.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah, definitely.
I think so. You're very quiet, you know?
Yeah.
But you're always around. You randomly just pop up places and like, who is that fool? Yeah. So talk about your story, man.
For sure. I mean, I think I'm not always quiet. But it's there's a time and a place, and I don't think, you know, I don't know.
In the city,
my whole life, I wanted to be more in that time and place.
Yeah,
it just seemed never to happen.
So, what's the high school door?
Oh, this girl that I thought was hot, she ended up talking to me.
There we go.
And then I thought someone was a friend, like a real homie. We hung out a lot. We played, we knew each other since elementary school, played sports, and I would go to his place all the time. And I got like some head.
There we go.
And then
fellatio.
Fellatio.
Word of the fellatio.
I really wanted to give her head, but.
Yeah. Cunnilingus.
It just ended up the other way around. But the next day, you know, when you have a best friend that you feel like you could tell them something in confidence?
I have before, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, please don't tell this to anyone, you know? It was my first time getting head. Mm. And he told, like, everyone, dude. That was, like, sophomore year, and I was like...
And she never gave you head again?
She never wanted to talk to me again.
Even talk?
Yeah. But, you know, that's my own fault.
Were you on that?
I didn't need to tell him, but... but yeah, I mean, that's why, I mean, when we're kids, we just make mistakes, you know, I'm not, you know, it was when I was using it but then it's like, it's a vicious cycle because if you're using drugs and stuff, you never really grow up.
Or yeah, it stops when you start using.
Yeah. It's such a transactional lifestyle that you know, and you're emotionally cut off, like we were just saying. So my best idea, because I was a community college, still using crystal. I had been to it, but didn't really see like how that could work for me.
Then why'd you go there?
For the social aspect, for sure.
Do you understand what you were fighting again?
No, not at all.
Just, I'm going to go there to kick it, initially.
Pardon, what was
You're that? There to go hang out, initially, just to...
Yeah, you know, and...
That's cool, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so... I did not know what was going on really in my life. So I knew that I had a problem like when I was like 20. My family decided to send me to rehab in Brazil. My that cousin that recommended water polo, she's like, you would probably benefit from going to rehab in Brazil because you'd have a different experience than like the rehabs here. She knew like Beverly Hills wasn't a good, she didn't like, you know. So I went there and supposed to be 3 months. I ended up being there for 9 months.
What rehab was it? What's it called?
It was like a Catholic style rehab.
Catholic. Ooh, dude. Yeah. So you got there. Like, did you get, like, do you pregame? Like, what's this place about? What are they? You were just like, yo, I'll just go. Like, blindly just went.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like 21. I was trying to quit drugs and stuff. And
so you went there and like you first landed. What was your first thoughts when you landed?
Well, the first place I went wasn't the place I ended up staying.
Okay, let's talk about the whole thing.
They drive you out to a rural area.
First one.
Outside of São Paulo, the outskirts of São Paulo. And, you know, we tour it first. Well, my family didn't tour it. They let me in. They said, bye. And then I'm there alone. And then they tour it. Okay.
So right outside of the gates. So
I was like 20. I think I turned 21. 20. And so I see these gates, like prison gates for some of the rooms. And I was like, okay, that's not that cool, you know? Isn't this rehab?
You heard gates quickly.
Yeah. And I asked him, like, so, like, are these our room? Is this like a timeout area or is this? He's like, no, we're a structured facility. You stay in here for 10 hours out of the day. And then you have like 2 hours of recreation and homework, and there's time to eat. And I was like, this. I like looked at the wall. I'm like, I bet I could hop that wall. But I was hungry. It's my first day. But then, so I'm like, I just go through the motions. But then they search me, this one dude, and he like feels my junk.
Like more than he should?
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like a chomo because I'm like 20, you know?
Yeah.
So then I was like heated, you know?
Yeah. Were you like, yo, dude, like, or were you just?
Yeah, I was like, what the, you know?
Yeah.
And, but anyway, I'm like in like the nursing room, like piss test room or whatever. And then I just wait for them to leave. And then I just had a backpack pretty much. I think I decided just to leave I might've had a backpack and luggage and I just left my luggage. I'm like, I need to get the fuck out of this place. You know, I already kind of wanted to leave, but after that, I was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, jump, motherfucker.
Yeah, and I run, I try to jump. I mean, Brazil's more sexual than America, than North America. It's a very, you know, it's like, I know that goes down, you know? Not that it doesn't hear, but I mean, I haven't heard too many stories about
it. Like, do you get murked out there if they find out you're that kind of person? Or like?
Not necessarily, that's the part.
Yeah, that's why I'm bringing it up, because yeah. Like, yeah. It's no jail,
and
or like,
it would be like my word against his, you know.
Yeah, and that's all they do. It's no court or like, you know, in America, yeah. We hate that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, you get murdered in prison, whatever, you yeah. deserve it. But like in Brazil, they're kind of like,
how are you gonna find out?
That sucks.
Yeah. So, I hopped the wall. It's a big ass wall, but he grabs my leg, and I'm like trying to kick him off, and I'm weak, you know. I'm not like.
Not varsity volleyball.
I was varsity water polo, but I was sucked up, bro.
Postman.
You know? Quick story. My dad took me and my sister to Santa Cruz for a weekend because he was playing a Brazilian circus. And he was like, for some reason, like maybe proud of me because I was like telling him about water polo and stuff. And he's like, okay, Kyle, when the time comes, I'm going to lift your shirt up for all my circus co-workers to see how nice a water polo body looks.
How old are you?
Like 17, 18 or something. And so then the time comes and he like lifts up my shirt and I'm like super sucked up. He looked like the air got sucked out of.
That's
like
not what I was trying to show.
Yeah, pretty much.
He what was like,
he like brought me to the room and started lecturing me and stuff. But anyway, back to Brazil. They were surprised that I tried to run away. And so they call my family. He's like, he's not trying to be here, you know. And then they transfer me to another rehab. Same thing. I try to run away again.
What was about that place? Same type of like
program? At that point, it wasn't. Oh, it was structure. It wasn't like, no, they didn't lock you in. That was why I was. But I was already on like a let me go on an adventure in Brazil kind of vibe.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah. I remember walking, running through this, you know, like a lake farm, like fish farm.
Okay.
I ran through a fish farm my second day, I think, at the rehab. And then I hop over like a barbed wire fence, like a short one. I can do like a front flip over it, but yeah. I land on my back and I just hear voices. Like they're like chasing, you know, people chasing me. And I make it to the road and then they like surrounded me and like brought me back. Gave me a cocktail of drugs so I could knock out for like 3 days. I was told that I was pretty out of my mind when I first got to that rehab, that I was like, I was talking English to people, thinking that they understood. Like, I'm fluent in Portuguese, but I'm over here like.
You are?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Você é o bicho. I said, you're a beast.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sick. Thank you. Okay. So talking English, you're like, dude, like, we don't speak English. Why are you talking? Like,
yeah,
do you know like, where you are? We're not, you're not in America, bro. Like,
yeah. I was just, yeah, like delusional.
Yeah.
Delulu. But yeah, like, you know, looking back, I was, I ended up being there for 9 months.
Nine.
And the therapy, it was supposed to be 3 months. But then they're like, you're doing so good. Like, you should stay another. Now looking back, I'm glad that I stayed that long.
Why?
Because I was eating good. You know, I wasn't eating good on crystals. So I was like the physical, the mental, all like having to be in one place, getting, sleeping at the same time. All that, like it, like being in recovery, it takes time, like, you know.
Yeah. Program there or like Christianity?
There's program. There is some Christianity.
Okay.
But it wasn't like forced down our, you know, cool. throats.
Yeah.
There was like TVs in the rooms. So I was watching soap opera every day.
What were you watching?
Soap opera.
Which one?
General Hospital. I don't remember Hospital, what they're called. I just lives. Remember one of, they're Brazilian soap operas.
Oh, my bad. I'm full crazy dog. See, I don't even know where I am.
Yeah. But, there was one called a Vampire Dentist. That was kind of...
Dude, see, that's just way... Because, like, Days Were Alive, General Hospital, that's so basic-ass, like, Vampire Dentist. Dude, sign me up.
Yeah. We played cards. We'd be singing, like, gospel songs.
Yeah.
Like, I played soccer, you know? It wasn't bad. It was... And then I had... my mom's family friends would like, bring me, like, cake and stuff. And, like... good food on the weekend, like some weekends.
Yeah.
I started working out with this dude, like doing pull. That's when I really got into like calisthenics and weights. I worked out with my dad. He is a big guy, like pretty big guy. He'd go to LA Fitness a lot. So I knew about lifting and also, you know, just being, but like that's a big part of my life now. I continue to lift and do pull-ups and stuff. But no, I just remember... Because we keep talking about being quiet, and this one guy was quiet. And his name was Nelson, but I remember his name, Nelson, because when he found out that I was interested in working, he was working out. He, like, took me under his wing. You know, there's other dude that he was bisexual, and but really, like, he was kind of a flirt, but he was really cool, and I thought he had some cool style, and he gave me his MP3 player, and that was, like, super, super nice. It was, like, techno and some like RDJ2.
Yeah.
I think Evanescence, and like I still listen to Evanescence sometimes. Like no one can take away the memories I have from rehab. But I didn't stay sober when I got out. It took one Facebook message for me to be like, oh, shrooms, I never did that. And I've always been curious. And
how that happened? Why in Brazil?
No, back when
back
I
home, yeah.
Like not even a month into it. Yeah. Another thing is there's other dude, this old timer that folded up paper to make like a big swan. And he taught me how to, it would be like tedious, like 300 pieces of paper. Then you like, but I made one like in rehab. I couldn't figure this out now for the life of me. But there was a time where I knew how to do something cool like that.
It looked dope. Like 300, it looks so intricate.
Yeah. You just like origami.
Yeah.
I mean, so like hobbies are a big part of my life now. I got to stay busy, but I don't want to, you know, start using crystal meth again. And, for the sake of time, I'll tell you about, I was like talking to my friend, things I should talk about on your podcast.
Yeah, sure.
And, I think something important for me, like I had a lot of close calls. Maybe the closest one was being offered crystal meth in prison.
Talk about it. Let's get details.
How I ended up in prison was I got out of rehab, started up, you know, now there's like guilt and shame that I can't get my shit together. I'm only doing what I know how to do, which is use. I'm like, oh, call. I'm done with college, you know? I had put my mom through the ringer. She used to drive around looking for me. And I would be paranoid, like, my mom's going to run into me. And I would, like, just walk, like, far distances, sometimes not even high. But, you know, like, now I could, looking back, I could probably have ended up homeless or something. But, you know, I would use with homeless people as a... But anyway, my Hassan has shown me a better way, and I wanted to get sober, but I was a chronic relapser. You know, I would leave in the middle of and not come back for months. So my best thinking is to go to prison, go to jail. Like maybe if I'm like somewhere where I can't access drugs the way I would want to, because there's drugs in jails. But like for me, if it was sunny outside in LA, that was a perfect day to go get the. No matter what it was, what are those pills? I know I raided medicine cabinets, anything, you know? I run in, steal like a handle or whatever. But I was trying to stay away from Crystal, but I had used Crystal and I felt pretty psychotic. I had been to like a few like psych wards at this point.
Meth psychosis.
Yeah.
Got it.
And I also had a sponsee brother that told me, he's like, dude, I think you need to go to jail because you're like such a...
Don't say his name, but do I know him?
No.
It's gone, yeah.
Yeah. It was tough love, though. You know, now we're both clean, and he's doing good. I'm doing good. I didn't do it because he told me to, but I ended up, finding a lighter one time. I was high, and then I thought, like, demons were chasing me, or angels that were actually bad and demons were good, and I didn't. So I just like, at first I was trying to steal a bike and I was trying to melt the chain with like a cheap ass big lighter.
Yeah.
And that would never work. Just like the insanity to even try. Cause I was walking to the beach. I don't know. I was going to like sail away or something. So, cause I ended up I stole a little boat that same day.
What'd you do?
Yeah. But like they were like yelling like, come back, come back.
You stole a boat?
A little boat.
How do you do that?
You just hop in and go to the like a rowboat, like a small vessel.
You just hop in.
Yeah, but
it wasn't guarded. Just like
yeah,
got it. Yeah,
yeah, marina. This when I was trying to steal the bike because I just was tired of walking. I didn't want to walk to the beach. I was trying to get there faster. I saw a security guard like looking at me, doing his job right, and I was like, oh, this. Why is this dude looking at me like, and I'm on one. So I just decide to like approach him and I see that he's like not phased, but also not trying to stop me. So I just walk past him and I go in, you know, and I walk up to the second floor and then, I'm like, fuck it. I found this lighter. I knew I wanted to do something with it and I'm going to stick to my plan. And I light a box of spray paint remover cans on fire.
Was it already in the box, brand new, or like used or whatever? Or?
Brand new. And then I do a lap in there, in the storage unit. There are people on the first floor. The second floor was a storage unit. I don't know if there are people on third floor or not. But I had a quick thought of staying in there because I also was, like, that's something I kept out of this whole conversation. And sobriety has been the only thing that I found that has made me not. I know there are other ways for other people, but this is the only way for me. But it wasn't like right away. Like I 4.5, 5 years sober is when like I started being like, okay, that's not an option. And I also thought about putting out the fire and not, you know, just slapping it out or something. But I felt lazy, I guess, and I just left the building. And then...
When you left the building, was it already, how much has the fire increase? Was it still pretty small or was it getting exponentially larger and larger and larger?
It was pretty small.
Okay, so you left with it small.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then I took off my shirt before exiting the building for some reason, or maybe I had taken it off before going into the building, but I only know that because surveillance video has a video of me exiting the building and my shirt's not on in that picture. And then this, and then I just walk away, walk to the beach. And I look back and I just see a huge cloud of black smoke. And the fire ambulance drove past by. And I'm like, I wonder who that's for. Like, I was so out of my mind that I didn't even, like, remember 20 seconds later that I was the one that caused that.
Psychosis.
Yeah. So, yeah, then there were that the fucking day was pretty trash.
How did it end? Same day? Did they find you same day?
No. I just went home, like, at the end of the day. Stayed home for, like, a week.
A week?
Yeah.
Do you think of any more of it? Or just, like, what? Did you ever think about it after that day? You didn't think about it, or?
I thought, I knew something was off, but I didn't know what was the cause of it.
Inside you?
Yeah, like, I was off. Like, I didn't know what I had done.
But you kept thinking about that fire incident, though.
No, I didn't.
Okay, got it. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was, like, oblivious. But my mom's family friend called and said that he saw me on the news. And I don't know if he told her that it was arson, but she, like, came and talked to me. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. But I'm like, but, you know, she had enabled me so much that anything I wanted at that point, I was going to get it. And I'm like, Mom, I want to go to a psych ward. You know, because I'm kind of avoiding also getting, like, them pulling up to me and arresting me. Like, they were going to.
When you found out and they said, oh, that you're on TV, what did you first think or feel?
I just felt like my actions fucking finally caught up to me.
And you knew it was real.
Yeah, it was a real feeling for sure.
So that weird feeling was suddenly like, dude, this is why I feel so crazy or feel so weird about it. Like, this is what happened.
Yeah, it was confirmation for sure, yeah.
So when you found that weird feeling, were you instantly like, as to escape or to build something, you told your mom, I want to go to a psych ward because of that? Or because you really felt—
Yeah, I was like, I need to prepare myself to, like, get arrested, basically.
Yeah, okay.
I need to prepare myself for the consequences. Or, like, if I'm going to run away, I need time to, like, figure this out.
Were you going
to
run away? Was it a small possibility? You're like, dude,
There was a small... I mean, I probably wouldn't have made it far.
What would you have done? Did you think about it or— Think about it now. What would you have done?
Probably, like, a lot of people, like, sneak into Mexico and then just go south. You know, dude. But that living over the shoulder life is, apparently, it's the worst way to live. I've never really lived that way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, kind of, because they never found me because I was in the psych ward and I extended my stay.
Intentionally?
Yeah. And then I had a, being Brazilians kind of, you know, when you're, we have family friends everywhere. So then I stayed in Santa Monica with a family friend for a while. Well, the only reason my mom was letting this slide, she didn't know. She knew I was, like, I was going to be arrested, but I don't think she knew what it was for.
No one told her because, like, the commercial, like, look at this commercial. This is what your baby did.
I don't know, but.
Yeah.
I was like, Mom, I was, like, ready to go to rehab. So, but there's a 2-week waiting. She found this Christian program called the Dream Center in Echo Park.
Shout out to Dream Center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're great. It's a free program, right? Like, they're really.
$20 a month gym?
$20 now?
A month, yeah.
Oh, shit.
And if you say you live in a sober living, it's 10.
Okay.
Yeah. They're dope.
Yeah. And I, there's a 2-week waiting list. So I stayed with these family friends for like 2 weeks. I was sober for those 2 weeks, you know? Then I went to the Dream Center, and then after 3 months, and I did my best to program in there.
Tell me about Dream Center. Okay. Yeah. I have a lot of questions about that. Mm-hmm. Like, is it, at all, or is it Christianity? Like, what is their programming there? I've always wanted to know what Dream Center is.
Mm. It's a Christian based program. It's highly structured and you know, I love it and all, but, I think it's not the only way to get well. You know, it would be arrogant to think that's the only way.
Yeah, no monopoly.
You know, yeah. So they encourage you to just stick with it. And it looks like waking up at 5 in the morning, you know, they take a page out of, like, military books, I guess. They're like, you got to make your bed this way perfectly. Like, the fold has to be perfect. And if not, you got to do it again. And then you, like, walk around in the parking lot That's like when you're supposed to be like praying to God or something. And then like you go, you eat, there's like a chow line, everything's like at a certain time. You got like Bible-based homework, you got to memorize verses. You have family visits, like they can see you in church and you like have phases and it becomes less structured as you, but it's a year commitment. But I like to tell this story, but there's one person that, his name was Gavin. He was like a bright, young college 20-year-old kid with a pretty hot mom.
Shout out to the MILFs. What's up, hot mom?
Yeah. He was in the Dream Center because he had a problem, but he was slow, dude. Like, even though I thought I was pretty up, he had used Xanax and collapsed over his own legs and cut off circulation and ended up having to get brain surgery because of that.
Because of the circulation from the legs caused that?
If you cut off circulation anywhere in your body, your brain, we need, you know, the circulation, our brain needs that. The blood flow.
I understand. So, okay, so even in the legs, that's why I'm kind of confused.
Went unconscious.
Yeah.
And he had like a patch of baldness right here from where the surgery was.
Yeah.
But like in this Christian program, none of the higher ups, I was the only one to show true compassion. Because it's like, okay, you don't do your Bible homework, we're kicking you out. This kid's not all the way there, dude.
How limited was he?
Like I helped him. Me, a JCAT psychosis person, I'm helping him with his homework, you know, so he can, you know, any problem, like any, I think any injury that someone has, I'm not a doctor, but I think 99% of the time you can recover, maybe not fully, but you can start that process, even if it's like a complicated brain thing. So I just gave him a push to like, at least not get kicked out, you know?
Do they know that you were defending him? Like they're like, this fool, I mean, Kyle is sticking up for him.
Yeah, he was really grateful that I like,
yeah,
you know.
Do you think your assistance in you helping him stay there was a huge thing that helped him stay there?
Yes.
That's great then.
Yeah. I was getting fed up with that place and also started having dreams about my family and loved ones being engulfed in flames. And I was like, I need to turn myself in. Like,
oh, because you knew the whole time, like, I've done this thing.
Yeah.
You never talked about it.
I never talked about it, you know. And then the cops went out, they were like, so where were you? It's like, I was down the street.
So you turned yourself in?
Yeah, I found, my mom used to babysit this lawyer's boy. And, you know, she was a pretty legit lawyer. I'm told she worked the O.J. Simpson case.
That's legit.
Yeah.
He got away.
Yeah. So did I. No, I pled incompetence. I'm neither confirming guilty or confirming innocence. Not incompetence. That's when you're not aware of your own decision, like your psychotic. No. No contest. But she was trying to have me play the incompetence card.
With insanity?
Yeah, and go to Patton State Hospital because you can get less time. Any crime you do, any crime anyone does, if you play incompetent, yeah, and you go and you're able to get to a psych ward, they could put it all under the insanity card.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's a limit to anything.
So incompetence is aligned with insanity.
Yes.
So they're all interchangeable.
Yeah.
Got it.
And I knew that if me, an addict, were to go to any hospital where there's meds, yeah,
you'd run game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also, like, always had, like, a interesting, like, I thought prison was interesting, you know? Like, that lifestyle.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, some people think it's interesting. Some people don't think twice about it. But, I don't know what that is. But I made the best out of it.
So you talked to the lawyer. And the lawyer called the police for you on your behalf, saying, yeah, I had this person, this is the person.
She stuck with me through it all.
What did you do?
She told me what to say,
okay,
you know, what not to say.
So when you left the Dream Center at 9 months, where did you go?
I went to the Fire Academy.
Oh, so how fast was it from going from Dream Center into, like, the legal system?
I was there at the Dream Center for not that long, like 2 weeks maybe.
Did they want to get you? Did they want to expedite you faster to jail, or that was just the process?
I mean, it's easy for anyone to get to jail.
Yeah.
Dream Center, like, anyone can leave. So I just left.
Yeah. But they didn't know the whole time.
No. You know, I might have mentioned that I did something at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. I also broke the rules at the Dream Center before.
What'd you do?
I left and I went on a day pass. I gave myself a day, you know, because look, I'm about to turn myself in. I've been in the structured environment. I'm about to be in a structured environment for the next, I don't know how long. Let me go, like, and I went to Bossa Nova and I bought a steak. But then I wasn't any better, dude. Like, I went home, no one was there, and my aunt, and I stole my aunt's hydrocodone medication.
Okay. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, no.
Bossa Nova.
That shit was expensive, and it wasn't even that good. I'm going to check the timer.
Yeah, yeah. Where are we at?
Oh, yeah, we're going pretty long, huh?
Are we good?
Yeah.
Are you?
Because the point of the whole part, because it was something about prison, which is that started this whole conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that. So in reception, some guys offered me crystal meth, and we wouldn't be having this conversation if I were to say yes. Like, sure, there's ups and downs, there's shame and guilt in my life, but at least I had stuck around enough and hung out with, you know, the winners of the AA program to know that, like, at bare minimum, I used, like, drugs and in prison. I did Bruno, like, prison wine and stuff, but when my drug of choice, when it was offered to me, I knew that I couldn't take, because we wouldn't be having this conversation. I wouldn't have got out of prison probably if I were to use. And I told the guard, like, late at night, like, hey, I'm in fear for my life. And he moved me out of that dorm.
Did he ask why?
He asked why, yeah.
What did you say?
I said something about, like, either, like, oh, like, that card and, like, these guys want to, like, beat me up, or I want to beat some, I don't know.
Not some guys trying to give me drugs.
No, I didn't say that, because people don't realize how something so small can be, like, so destructive. Bro, if I were to use I barely ever play this tape, but I'm the type that when I try to run when I use, I want to be like alpha big dog. And then some other fun thought I will have is, like, the reason I have to work out and be, like, so tough now is because, like, sober version Kyle has to be tougher than, like prison prison version Kyle.
Yeah.
I'm definitely strong.
So you're in prison, and then you say no, right? And then you get moved to a different cell. What cell did you go to?
At first, I didn't just say no right away. You know, I stayed, like, a day. but I was hoping for a sign from God. And that movie Hellboy came on, Hellboy 2, I think. And Hellboy has a vision. The sorcerer has him, like, see his full potential. Because Hellboy shaves his horns down. And he has a vision. His horns are fully grown. He has a crown of flames. And the world is in ruin, but he's, like, on top. But his best friend throws a rosary at him, which wraps around his arm and etches into his skin. And it burns him, and it snaps him out of that trance. And he's like, and he, like, breaks his own horns. And I was like, okay, that's the sign right there that, like, I can go down the path that I'm on and, you know, feel like an ultimate badass, but be alone, or, you know, give myself a grace.
What were you finally charged with?
Arson, property damage. I got a strike. I did 2-3 years, 50%. So, but then, because I got moved to, when I got moved to a different dorm, that allowed me to take classes like anger management and all kinds of classes to, like, cut my time down. Like, I got, like, maybe a month and a week off because of good behavior. And but still, like, all that said and done, the week before I get released, I went to the hold for trying not to fight someone. You know, I'm like, that was still too close for comfort. Even
why
without,
they want to fight you?
Probably, you know, like simple emotion, like the lower tier emotions, jealousy, envy, hate.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what runs a prison, you know. Most people in prison and jail are there because of drugs and alcohol too, apparently.
So you're there, and then you're there, you get a month and a half off. Was anger management, was that helpful at all in those classes, or just to get time off?
I feel like they're helpful. There's still techniques I use today. Like, you know, of all of the ones I learned, I only remember one.
What is it?
It's called urge surfing.
Tell me about it. Teach me.
All right. So if you get the urge to do something bad, you just surf it out. You just don't do anything because, like, it's going to, like a wave, it'll crash, you know, like, and you just, like, surfing it allows you to, like, avoid, you know, it's so simple, but it did help.
I like the complexity of it because it sounds so simple, but when you're on a wave, you kind of got to navigate, or you're going to bail, and you're going to fall in the water, and you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
It's not just, like, waited out, like, sitting on a park bench. It's like, you're on a wave.
Yeah.
This wave will die down.
Yeah.
So just, like, you know, use your skill sets and, like, get through the wave, and then it will eventually has to stop because all waves come to an end.
Yes.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
It's more than just, like, oh, just wait it out, think.
Yeah.
Or easy does it. Like, how do I easy does it?
Well, yeah.
Ride it on the wave.
Yeah.
I like how they connected that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a, I think, cognitive behavioral therapy class.
Mm.
And then I did a lot of things on my own time to get better, you know, like working out, basketball, like going to the library almost every day. Even if I wasn't going to get a book, I just couldn't be around people that were just up to no good. Either you're studious and you're getting better in prison, or you're getting worse.
How much time do you get in the library?
Oh, you can be there for as long as you, but it's small. You want to be considerate because other people want to come in.
Right.
You don't, like, go in and sit down. You go and you check a book out.
Yeah. People are watching you too. Like, why are you in there for, like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, initially your thing was you were curious about jail, prison. Yeah. What is your final conclusion now? Was it what you thought it was going to be, or was it not? Or was it good? Was it bad? Or something in between? Or what was it?
It was way more than I thought it was going to be because there's a incredible amount of beauty in there. There's a lot of chaos, but then you'll have dudes that aren't afraid to sing, you know, in front of people, you know, like good conversations. People look out for people. I wouldn't be here if people didn't look out for me either. People that I'm never going to see again.
What if they hear this? Why don't you shout out?
They're not going to see it.
Right,
a lot of people are from, like, Bakersfield and stuff. You
got
know?
It, got it. Go on, yeah. So.
But yeah, like, you know, and then there's it's also kind of like, not to get into politics, but, like, the majority of people being African-American or Latino it's a very moving thing as well. So, like, I do Feed the Streets.
Talk
LA.
About Feed the Streets so people know what's up. Because it's a beautiful program. What is Feed the Streets?
It's a nonprofit. We feed about 3,000 meals a day, and not a day, but a week. We operate out of Hollywood, Skid Row, and MacArthur Park. We have other events too, like Skate Jam. We go to, like, lower income neighborhoods and hook kids up with the coolest gear, brand new skateboards, and we have at-risk youth program. But what I like to do is just show up every week and give out plates of food to people and sometimes clothes. But, you know, the tie with prison and Feed the Streets is, like, my people, you know, Black people looked out for me in prison. And so I feel like it's my duty to look out for people. And it's unfortunate that so many colored people in prison and Skid Row, you know, it's like, obviously there's something wrong with this country. And it's an uncomfortable topic, but, you know, and for someone that doesn't care about much, you know, I'll still say it because someone has to, you know. It's not about caring or not. It's about what's right or wrong. You know, everyone deserves, like, the basics, you know. And I know they're trying to fix the prison problem. There's more prisons in California than the rest of the country, you know. Like, you know, they're making it more like substance abuse type, which is good.
Where and when and how does someone get involved with Feed the Streets?
Simply follow Feed the Streets on Instagram and DM them. Or you can just show up. I think the information's on the Feed the Streets Instagram page.
Okay.
Feed the Streets _ LA, or if you're in New York, Feed the Streets _ New York.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, it's a great way to make friends.
Yeah.
Feel a little better about yourself. Yeah, I got a lot out of, I also didn't think I was going to get much out of doing simple acts of kindness.
Yeah.
But
Cassie's got a lot out of it.
Yeah.
Cassie, she said, oh, I talked to John. I'm like, yeah, he's dope. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Cassie, I see Bridget goes there. She's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
What's up, Bridget? What's up, Cassie?
Yeah.
Cassandra Towns, future lawyer, sue your ass and take all your money. Yeah.
Yeah. She's cool.
So what's going on now, dude? So, okay, I see you on, what's going on now is I see you on social media. You're running around. People are pouring what I know a lot about, lube. How much lube are they putting on your body?
Copious amounts.
What kind of lube? Do you know the brand?
I don't remember the brand.
Okay.
And
then why?
You know, I mean, pretty much since prison, since I got out, I've been, I finally gave myself that chance. I got my together. It took a while, but you know, I've been constantly bettering myself. So the burpees that I was doing, shout out to Hassan because he taught me burpees before I even went
What's
to
up,
jail.
Hassan? Dude, I got to get you on here, bro.
Yeah.
You're still fucking. Okay, go on, yeah.
So because they call it getting money in there because we're not getting actual money. So working out is getting money. And so, you know, I get out of prison. I'm still like poor, like lower class. So I just get money, dude. And still now, I'm still like struggling a little bit. I got 3 jobs, but I like things are changing for sure. But I still have a lot of free time. And with my free time, I just work out because that's what I've been doing this whole time in this bettering phase of my life. And like Feed the Streets, I didn't think I was going to get nothing out of it. But like people notice, some good people, like I'm like really fit now, you know? And yeah, I don't know.
Lube.
And then the person that offered me that job at first, he was someone that I got sober with like before prison. Like, he remembered, like we both had our ups, we both like relapsed and stuff, never together. But like you, there's some great people out there, you know, that shout out to Earl.
Shout out to Earl.
Yeah. And the owner of that company, I don't want to break his anonymity, but.
John.
No,
I'm saying fake name.
Yeah. So anyway, their gear is sick.
Wait, so like what is the job though? Like the job involves the lube, involves the job?
It's the company, Warren Lotus, the clothing company.
Got it, yeah.
They've been doing funny skits to get people to buy their products.
Okay.
So I've become a funny skit.
A recurring, because I've seen it before.
Yeah, that video went viral. I like to think my hard work paid off for that video to go viral.
Yeah.
So they're going to reuse it. I don't know how often they reuse things.
Yeah.
But I mean, so I got nothing better to do. So
is it clip for Warren?
It's for Warren.
Okay. Cool.
Lotus.
Warren Lotus. And you're running around
and if they
drenched in lube.
Yeah. And people chase me and it's extremely difficult, but they can get money or store credit.
Has anyone got you?
Well, the first time we did it, the first person to catch me was this pretty hot, this bomb blonde chick.
So you let her catch you?
I slowed down, yeah.
You asshole.
Look, I love clothes and a lot of things, but yeah. I stay true to my roots, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but the lube makes it nearly impossible, right? Because, I mean, if there wasn't lube, they could possibly get you.
It doesn't help that much,
okay.
Honestly, because I'm running, it's drying off. As I'm running.
Yeah.
Not that it doesn't help.
Yeah.
But, you know, but the whole thing is so funny and it's definitely opening up some doors for me. Yeah, man. So good people just looking out for me. And another important thing I've learned in my sobriety is to pay it forward. So eventually when I'm in the position to hook someone else up with whatever odd job that can give them a tiny bit of clout or whatever it is, but they're like, but they got to be like service soldiers, like soldiers, you know?
Right.
And cause, yeah, dude, I mean, I was pretty much all in since, I mean, I was court ordered to do at first.
When you got out?
Yeah.
How many?
I think like 30.
Or whatever.
Yeah. But, the most important part is the beginning, you know?
Yeah. Did you hit up Hassan immediately?
I hit him up, yeah.
Was he like, cool, let's go?
Yeah, dude, he came right over. I was like a puppy dog, dude. Like, not a puppy, but a dog running back and forth in front of my house. A couple times it's had like a, when like I see people that I really care about, I haven't seen them in a while. Like, I don't know. I'll run back and forth, I guess.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, dude, and then like, I have such great relationships in my life now. And, I mean, look, it takes what it takes, you know?
Word.
Yes. And that's pretty much all I got, Lawrence.
Dude, Kyle, thanks so much. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, man. Yeah. This was pretty fun, actually.
Yeah. I learned a lot about you. So much more about you. Yeah. And more than just like the guy that set the building on fire, but like why, what happened, the causation,
yeah.
You know, what went through your emotions, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and making critical choices that could totally change your life by saying yes to the meth.
Yeah.
And a miracle that you said yes because your whole life you always said yes to doing the drug without any thought.
Yeah.
Being in Brazil, you know what I'm saying? And like one, someone face, like sends you a Facebook message and you're just like, yeah.
Yeah.
That one point of actually saying like no, like how the fuck does that happen?
Yeah.
Right?
That's the chances, right?
That's the God shot for me. I mean, I think for, you know what I'm saying? Because like every other instance from the whole story you've told me, you've always just didn't give up and you were down for whatever.
Yeah.
And why this one time out of all the times,
yeah,
you're like, no.
Yeah. I mean, sure, I glamorized prison, but did I really want to be there for the rest of my life? Like, hell no.
Right.
And it's sad that some people think that's the only way to live.
Yeah.
People... And that's probably the worst thing I saw in there was people that know that they're going to get out just to come right back, but like weirdly looking forward to it. Yeah, I don't think it gets
institutionalization.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm constantly like the therapy that I'm doing, I'm still learning why, you know, I did X, Y, and Z, but I don't regret. I don't have regrets. I don't have time for regrets.
Yeah, don't want to shut the door on that.
Yeah.
But you can look back at it because it's going to help somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
So look, I hope this podcast helps somebody.
Kyle, you the man.
Thanks to you too, bro. All
right, peace out.
Peace.
Lords of Chaos, thank you for listening.